Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 11, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter. June 11, 2019. My new article in Russian, co-authored with Lera Kachaturian, has been published, An Integral Approach to World History. Perception of reality in simple light, instead of our world, which depicts our distorted perception for us, we can feel the single creator, the only thing that exists. We exist inside him and everything is immersed in the ocean of white light. This will be the true reality. If I see you in front of me, it means you are in me as a specific form of desire with specific qualities. To the degree I correct my attitude to you, it's as if I return you into myself. You become included in me. I cease seeing you on the outside. I return the whole world inside myself. Egoism is rising, trying to separate us. Striving to unite, we keep attaining a higher awareness, and within it, the purpose of creation, which is necessary in order to enter the new world, to rise above all limitations into the upper dimension, absolutely infinite undisturbed space. The steering wheel of the universe. We determine our degree along the ladder of advancement in the measure of our unity in the ten. The more connection, the higher the degree. The higher you are, the greater the perception of the integral system of all the worlds that you get, and to this extent you influence them. There is a movie screen all around me where I see the world, inside myself and the changes that occur in me on all four levels, human, animate, vegetative, and inanimate. These are the four levels of desire that are projected onto the external screen, as in a movie. However, it is impossible to reach the Creator without the world. I have to treat the world as the Creator, and the means will turn into the field of adhesion with Him. The whole world is a playing field of the Creator with me. The Creator changes my qualities, and this is what I see in the world. Therefore, the calculations are not with the world but with the Creator, through intentions. If I didn't see the picture of the big world, it would be felt inside me in such minuscule proportions that I could not advance. But everything inside me, multiplied a billion times, is revealed outside of me. Therefore, the world is the outward projection of myself. The world is an inner state of a person. The whole world is inside me. There is no world outside of me. I feel myself, and all the changes that occur in me are perceived as the changes in the world around me. I project my feelings and attitudes outward, and see them as the pictures of the world. The world is my inner state. Combine the double image of the world. A person must understand that there is a double image of the world in his field of vision, and he must combine it. Combining himself into one whole with the others, into a single object. He corrects himself and sees the world corrected. Kabbalah, the world is I, what I see outside of me, through my egoism. I see the opposite to me. I am I, perceived in my egoism. I see myself loved. Correction is to see everyone as yourself. Love others as yourself. In this case, I discover a new world, spiritual, above my egoism. Only global cooperation can eliminate all threats to mankind's existence. In part, through mandatory compliance with cooperation requirements, which the UN should prescribe. This is influence from below. Kabbalists, on the other hand, operate from above, by affecting the root. Growing spiritually? Question. How do we grow spiritually? Answer, growing spiritually means being in a group and engaging in it according to the method of Rabesh, which we constantly study. This is an old method, it is simply called by the name of my teacher who was the last of a 1,000-year-old plethora of Kabbalists that worked on this method. Only if you exercise the method of connecting with others in a group, will all your problems gradually turn into sweetness. From the Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, January 20, 2019. New Life number 1111. The Development of Judaism, Settlement in the Land of Israel, Part 2.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the evolvement of Judaism. It's going to be really interesting. Be with us, Nitzan, please. Yeah, what we'd like to talk about today is the evolvement of Judaism and to see how throughout the different periods of the life of the nation, it took on different forms. Now, maybe as an intro, it's important to say that also today, when we try to learn about our past in terms of Judaism, there are two paths. The one is the path of the Bible stories, that we read them as is, and we try to follow the different processes described in those stories. Another path is a historical path. We can try and find different findings, did it, didn't it happen, and so on. So there are basically two paths, and the path that we'd like to talk about on this show is maybe a less familiar one, which is the Kabbalistic path. It's the way in which Kabbalists see the genuine, authentic Jewish story, and this is actually what we're aiming at. So we'll try to keep this all the time in mind because looking at myself, when I was in school, for example, I was taught the stories from the Bible, I was taught the books of Shmot, Vayikra, and so on, and I studied the different stories. And also in history, we studied what we studied. And with you, we'd like to understand the essence of the matter. So now, what we'd like to focus on is the point where the people of Israel, after they came out of Egypt, they went through the 40 years in the desert, they entered the land of Israel, they settled down, they divide the land between the tribes, each tribe gets a piece of land, and a certain kind of hierarchy is being formed. So, on the previous show, you explained the inner process that this people is going through. After they come to the land of Israel, according to what you've explained, this being the realization of the quality of bestowal, the desire to be connected between them and with the upper force. Now they're reaching a certain state where the people say, we want a king. Maybe I'm looking at things from the outside in, and I see that other nations, they have a king. We want to have a king too. So let's try and understand on the inner level, what does it mean for the people of Israel to have a king? This is unrelated to spiritual development, although it is, but in a way that we're not used to. Because, for example, King David and King Solomon and other kings, we don't understand them. There were those that were good, that were holy. There were those that were bad, cruel, and so on. It's a bit less clear to us from the perspective of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because the wisdom of Kabbalah, from its perspective, speaks about the king as being one of the holiest characters in the nation, the one that has to set an example for the entire nation, that has to lead the people to spiritual development. The king, he served the nation. And accordingly, also the prophets of that generation, they crowned the king. It's not like in other places and countries, like in Europe, for example, where a king would inherit his crown. But it's something that was only according to one's achievements. Therefore, being the king of Israel is really hard work. He had to serve the entire nation. He had to explain and to set an example for the entire nation of what does it mean to be in bestowal and in adhesion with the Creator and so on. And this is why he's called Melech, king in Hebrew. Melech, the king, being the point of Malchut, which is the last Sfira, that has to reach the Keter, being the first, uppermost Sfira, meaning that the king is both the best and also the worst. Meaning he as if contains inside himself these two ends. Yeah. And if we compare it to the leaders that came before the kings, again, I don't want to get into history because what we can get out of history isn't that correct. And we examine history according to our own mind. And it's completely incorrect. It is a nation that was all the time in an inclination towards bestowal, connection, love, and they fought in order to remain in that. And because our ego is constantly growing, especially after we came in or went into the land of Israel, it means that we've entered the awakening of the ego that existed in Egypt, and that after the desert meaning to bestow in order to bestow, it's not the desert itself, the sand or anything. But when we started working with the desire that has awoken in us and grew in us in Egypt, these are called desires with which we already have to work to receive in order to bestow with. This is a completely different form of work with our ego, and then really big problems began. We started fighting these desires, and these are called the wars to conquer the land. Conquering the desire. That desire that we pulled from Egypt, from back then, and has awoken now, then with the force that we have acquired in the desert, we fight the egoistic desires in order to really subjugate them under bestowal. And this is called the desire to conquer the land, that this egoistic desire has to work with the intention in order to bestow. So it means that we constantly work on those desires that want to receive, that there's this constant inner war going on between the will to receive that wants to receive and to invert it. To invert that desire for it to work in bestowal towards others. Right. Through it. So if I understand correctly from the Kabbalistic perspective, besides the external action of coming from the desert into the land of Israel, conquering and dividing the land, there's also an inner process that this people is going through inside themselves, regardless of any other nation or people, where they're going through this inner conquering of the egoistic desires that awaken in them. They fight them, subjugate them from the direction of absorbing everything to my own benefit to bestowing, loving, and so on, partially. So can you complete the picture? I don't want to confuse anyone. What people know is that the people of Israel, they came from the desert, they entered the land of Israel, divided the land between the tribes. What is there to add? I can only add confusion. I'm sorry, from this point and on, it as though it doesn't exist. However, we have to understand that we don't live inside this world. We don't cross from the land of Babylon to the land of Canaan, from Canaan to Egypt, from Egypt to the Sinai Desert, from the Sinai Desert to the land of Israel. But we all the time exist inside our desires. And the only thing that we're working with is our desires, and there is no reality besides our desires. And to the extent to which we work with our desires, to that extent we, as if, discover the world that we live in, the geographical place that we're in. It all appears in us as the perception of reality, but we live and work only in the desire. Meaning the inner war that a person or a nation goes through, in this case, the group that wants to realize the principles of Judaism between them, according to the inner state they're in, the inner wars, at times it's more successful, at times less. Eventually, the force of reception overwhelms them, and this gives a kind of external projection to reality, of reality. Yeah. Okay, now inside these wars, let's try and understand, let's add to this also the building of the temple. What is it? It's the same kli, the same vessel that we build in order to come back to the reality of Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first Adam. What is that? Our soul, our desires connected together mutually in a single system where we help each other, where we're in love another as thyself, where the upper force of bestowal and love called the Creator is revealed. The upper force. So we're forced throughout the entire historic process, whether we like it or not, we're moving in that direction. And then we reach a state of building the temple or building our vessel, our connection. This means to enter the land of Israel, a desire that's aimed Yashar Kel, which is a different pronunciation of Israel, which means to be aimed straight at the Creator. They took a desire from Egypt and started working on it for it to start bestowing to and connecting all of the rest of the broken parts in order to build a special kind of connection between these parts called the soul, or that's called a house, a building. A building meaning what? A place where all of us are integrated in each other's desires, which is the heart of the nation, the connection between everyone. That's called the temple, Bet HaMikdash in Hebrew, consisting of the words Bait, which means desire, and Gdusha, which means in order to bestow. In order to bestow to each other, it means that the house is ready, and that everyone's willing to bestow out of their connection to the upper force, to the Creator. This is called the works of the temple. So, to see if I understand, there's the people of Israel, inside of which awaken egoistic desires, as if everyone wants to use everyone else. So a person goes through this inner war inside himself with his egoistic inclinations, and he starts overcoming and turning in the other direction, meaning from himself outwards towards others. And there is a network of good relations created instead of the egoistic relations where everyone wants to only use the others. Now they want to benefit each other. And this network of connections brings them to a new degree that you call the temple. Meaning you're not referring to a physical building, but to a qualitatively new connection between people. Yes. Why do you call this new connection Bait, a house? Because they build this structure between them. And what's unique about this network of connections? It's in mutual bestowal. Meaning what? That everyone wants to bestow to everyone else, wanting to help others and support them. Wanting to pass the upper force of bestowal, love and warmth to others. And this is the purpose for which a person exists. This desire towards each other builds a special network. Yes, that all in all is called the soul. This network of connections. Or the temple, Bet HaMikdash. Why temple? Because history shows that all the nations in the area had temples, even before us. Come the people of Israel, enter the land of Israel, conquer it, and build, seemingly, another temple. What's different about it? Or it's not different. It's very special. Because it symbolizes for us the good and nice attitude that exists between all the people in the nation. an attitude of love another as thyself. So, apparently, anyone who'd look from the outside, suppose, would see a structure, a building. But the Jews, meaning the nation itself, felt that this external building symbolizes their inner structure, actually. I don't think that they related to this house that much, but it's a symbol. Because for them, the main thing wasn't building Jerusalem or the temple and altogether that it was in Shiloh and so on. It's not important. What's important is that we'll have a warm, mutual connection up to the point of love, that in that connection we can reveal the Creator. So let's look into this connection, into the system that they built between them. Inside, there was this certain class of people who were the priests, the Kohens. What was their role? The Kohens, the Levites, and Israel, this is how the entire nation was divided. That this is relatively since they came out of Babylon, that there were those that were on the spiritual degrees of Abraham, Aaron, Moses, and so on, and beneath them. It's a division according to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later a division according to the sons of Jacob, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are Ketel, Chochmah, and Binah. These are the three upper discernments that belong to the head of the nation, the Rosh of the nation, and then the so-called people of Israel, which are the sons of Jacob from above downwards. When we're talking about Kohens and Levites, they come from a certain tribe, from the tribe of Levi. There are 12 tribes, and from one tribe, the tribe of Levi, come two different classes, the Kohens and the Levites. Now, the Kohens, the priests, it's something that also exists in other nations. So what's special or not special about the status of the Kohens, the priests, among the people of Israel? Back then, the Kohens were related to the highest kind of spiritual work, which is called the temple. The Levites, they helped them, and they were the transition between the Kohens and the people. This unique work that the Kohens were engaged in, what kind of work did they do? We know that they were engaged in sacrifice. Okay, sacrificing. So we know that these are pagan ceremonies that other nations that lived around them did too, even before the Jews had a temple. It's not about that at all. What then? It's taking a desire to receive and inverting it to in order to bestow. Inverting the work with it from the beastly, egoistic form to the human form, which is bestowal and love, meaning an entire correction of putting the intention over the will to receive. What desire? Whose? Of the beast? It says that the people used to come and bring some animal, for example, to the temple, where the Kohens used to take it. They did very meticulous work, and eventually they'd sacrifice that animal. Suppose, I'm a Kohen, you bring an offering, I take it from you, I sacrifice it, and so on. Now, what did you add to that? To this, I add that you work there as a butcher, the Kohen, the priest at the temple. Yeah. And you had to cut that animal and roast it and so on, and then I'd sit and eat. Okay, this I know even before you said that. What are you adding to that? Turns out that the highest work of the priests is to serve the people that brought the offerings. You see the entire process it goes through. A common person brings a sheep. The Kohens slaughter it, roast it, and so on, and then serve it to those people that brought that offering. What does it mean? Let's not look at it literally. Meaning that everyone connects with the nation's teachers, which are the Kohens and the Levies. The Levies, they also worked in the temple. Everyone had a specific place of their own. And anyone who wanted to correct something, who had what to correct, used to bring their animate part. It could be salt, it could be something from the field, fruits from the field, and a sheep or a cow, doesn't matter. Anything that you could do spiritual work on and would come to sacrifice it. Meaning what? That every person is a small world. In everyone there are the nations of the world and Israel that are divided into the people, the Kohens, and the Levites. And they all have to be connected to the upper force, the Creator. So in that you already see a complete system of how do we have to work in order to correct all of our desires, this entire world, for it to entirely be connected to spirituality and to get the force of bestowal from spirituality, to be filled by it, and to reach the desired correction. What's the correction in this entire process? I brought something from something vegetative, something still, something to the temple. Some work was done on it, and it was sacrificed. Okay, you're right. I'll try to explain. Israel, meaning those that are aimed at bestowing to the Creator, they have to bring all of their desires. A person from Israel. Yeah, a person from Israel, for example. And Israel, meaning those that want to come closer to the Creator. The Creator being what? The force of bestowal in love. So a person who wants to come closer to the force of bestowal in love, for him to have this kind of force in him. It could be someone from Africa or from the Amazon. Bestow means bestowing good onto others. A person who wants to have the force of bestowal in love. Yeah, he needs a force in order to be able to do it. He doesn't naturally have it. And therefore, he has to reach a state where he reaches a korban in Hebrew, meaning sacrifice, but also coming from the word karov. To come near, to be close, that he wants to come closer to the force of love and bestowal, which is the Creator. And also, korban, sacrifice, comes from the word lakriv, to bring closer, that he is willing to sacrifice his egoistic desire for it to undergo a correction, and instead of using it egoistically in order to receive, to use it in order to bestow. And then he elevates his desire that's called a sheep, for example. Doesn't matter how. It's a desire. He elevates it to correction, to a higher degree. He brings it to a place called the temple. The temple being what? It's the place where his desires that are connected with the Creator are called Kohens and Levies, and then these desires, they accept this offering that he wishes to sacrifice, to offer, and slaughter it, meaning enough living as a beast, but now you're going to serve the Adam degree in you, the human level in you, and therefore the beast is slaughtered, processed, roasted, and served to that person, bring the sacrifice. Because in every person you have the degrees of the still, the vegetative, and the animate, and in order to reach the degree of the Creator, he has to sacrifice these egoistic, still, vegetative, and animate that exist in him through working with the Kohens and the temple, and to the degree of the Creator, using it as a lever. And we see that This is what we have to do. We have to perform these corrections, which are corrections only inside our desire. And what happens in that house that was built, or that later, as if this house no longer exists, it doesn't matter. We have to live inside that work and to perform the same actions, even now. So, just to see if I understand, a person who wants to have this good force of bestow and love has to sacrifice the desires inside of him, the egoistic desires that are inside of him, like you said, stop living as a beast, if I understand the comparison, to be a beast, it's living in a way where you use everyone else, taking only for yourself. This is something that I have to slaughter inside myself, and I use a certain mechanism called the Kohens and the Levies, which are certain desires inside of me that are already corrected, that help me upgrade my egoistic desire. This is what happens, this is what it means to sacrifice, to bring an offering. Yes, and therefore you're saying that a person who wants to reach the degree of love and bestowal has to do the inner work of sacrifice regardless of whether the temple exists or doesn't exist. This world doesn't exist at all. We see this world the way we do. We already talked about it. Our time's almost up, but still. This world is an imaginary world, and we only see it the way we do. We depict it inside our desires, and therefore, let's correct our desire, and we'll see how this inner desire depicts the external world to us. Last question. You just described an inner process happening inside a person. What does it mean that an entire nation goes through this process of inner corrections? What kind of a nation do they become? As one man and one heart, one people. And what's special about them? They have one heart, one desire, one mind, one thought. Everyone's united. And by that, they make room for the Creator, for the upper force, the force of bestowal and love, to reveal Himself in them. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.